So what kind of ground or soil are you anyway? Have you thought about this? Is anyone's life filled with thorns and thistles that choke the word of God? Or might you be somewhat like the rocky ground, without roots, incapable of persevering? We might want to say, oh no, not me, not us. We're all like the good ground, aren't we? Back in the 1970s, there was a French church song. The 1970s were not a good decade, by the way. The French sang the song that started like this. We're all going to paradise. We're all going to paradise, and we'll be there with the dogs and the cats and the birds and the rabbits, and we'll all be happy. Are we all going to paradise right now? Are we all on the way? But then why did Jesus even bother telling us this parable? I hope that we shall all see each other again in paradise one day. But perhaps right now, not everyone is doing just fine. Jesus tells the parable of the sower for a very good reason. He has been preaching and working miracles all through Galilee, but only a few people have become his disciples. Now, the person of Jesus must have been mesmerizing, his words full of wisdom, his example so inspiring, and yet most of his hearers did not turn to follow him. How strange! So today, Christ explains to his disciples why the results of his ministry have been a bit meager. The parable also functions as a kind of mirror. Jesus is holding a mirror up to us, the church, and he's saying, look, this is you. Because from the beginning, the church has included the strong and the weak, the fervent and the lukewarm. It's always been that way. It will always be that way until the second coming of Christ. Jesus is the sower who goes out into a field. That is, the eternal Son of God goes out from the Father. He becomes flesh. He comes among us so as to travel about, throwing the seed of the word wherever he goes. The seed is the teaching of Christ, the teaching that we find in the Bible and in sacred tradition. The seed falls on different types of ground because in the countryside of Palestine in the first century, it was often very difficult to distinguish between the good soil and the rocky ground. There were no neat fences that clearly divided the fertile soil, the field, from the wilderness and the shrubbery. Jesus mentions four types of ground or soil. There's the path, the rocky ground, the soil covered by shrubs or thorns, and the fertile soil. The path signifies the person who receives the word but does not understand it. Now, Jesus is not talking about unintelligent people or those with little schooling, because he says that the seed is sown in the heart. When an ancient Jew like Jesus refers to the heart, he means the center of the person, what we might call mind and heart, the soul, in a way, the whole person, not just the mind. So understanding the word means hearing the message, reflecting on it, accepting it with love, and then putting it into practice. It means knowing, loving, and doing the word, applying it in one's life. The path stands for the person who refuses to accept the word of Jesus for his or her life. They never really take the word seriously. They never let it penetrate their life. They never let any important part of their life change because of what Jesus says and does. And so then the evil one comes like a bird, and he carries away the seed. The evil one. Jesus is talking about the devil. You know, everyone loves Pope Francis, don't we? He's wonderful, Pope. If you pay attention to his homilies and speeches, he's talking about the presence of evil and of the devil in the world all the time. All the time. Pope Francis calls us to recognize that walking with Christ inevitably involves engaging in a kind of spiritual battle. Battle for the good and against the evil one. The parable shows that the devil takes a particular interest in us when a new seed comes, when Jesus gives us a new call, a new mission, when he speaks to us in a new way. The devil does not want us to listen. Then comes the rocky ground. It stands for those who might have a powerful experience of God, or discover a wonderful Christian fellowship, or who have some other type of exhilarating spiritual experience. These experiences can be wonderful gifts from God. We should treasure them. But then as time goes on, perhaps being a Christian, being a Catholic, might become a bit mundane, a bit less exciting. Jesus can touch our emotions. He can give us joy and peace. But he does so as to invite us to go deeper in the spiritual life. We can be very good at turning religion and spirituality into a tool that serves our needs. Without even realizing it, we can begin to approach our faith as a kind of consumer good that we pick up at the spirituality supermarket. We go shopping. We say, I like this. Oh, I like this idea. I like this teaching. I like this practice. I like it. It serves my needs. It makes me feel good. It's practical. It helps me. Oh, I don't like this over here. I'm not going to buy that product. Oh, no. That's what the rocky ground is all about. When the unpleasant part of Christ's way becomes evident, some turn aside, and they may hardly be aware that they're doing so. Then we have the ground covered by thorns. The seed begins to grow, and only after a time does it become choked, does it die. The thorns show up when the cares of the world and material blessings begin to dominate our lives. You know, material blessings are not bad. They're blessings. They become a problem when they take over, when they're at the center of life. Perhaps we will miss out on a work promotion if we consistently apply Catholic ethics in the business world. Or perhaps we risk exclusion from some social circles if we come across as just a bit too Catholic, too weird. Such temptations can come after years of faithfulness. We can start out just like the good soil and then slowly, quietly become somewhat like the ground covered in thorns. And then we have the good soil. The harvest it brings is enormous. A farmer in ancient Palestine would have been delighted with a 15-fold harvest from the seed he planted. But Jesus is speaking about a harvest that is 30 or 60 or 100-fold. This is what grace does. The parable is, in a way, all about the hidden supernatural working and power of Christ's word. The good soil stands for the person who hears the word and tries to understand it, who then accepts it with love and who lives according to it. The person who is like the good soil asks questions about the word, about the seed, just like Jesus' disciples who request an explanation of the parable. Now, maybe some of you suspect that you're not always like the good soil. Maybe you're somewhere in between. Maybe you're often on the borderline between the thorns and the fertile soil. Or perhaps you're somewhere in between the hard, rocky ground and the good soil. But wherever we are in life, the way forward is to seek to hear the word, to try to understand it as best we can, to grow to love the word, and then to put it into practice. Maybe there are some teachings and practices in the Bible or in Christ's church that you find strange, bizarre, or just perplexing. And you know what? That's okay. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to like it all. Not yet. There are parts of the Bible that I still do not understand. I've been studying and teaching theology full-time for about 15 years. I'm supposed to be the professional, and there are parts of the Bible that I cannot explain. There are parts of church teaching that I do not fully comprehend, and it's not the end of the world. What we try to do, what we need to do, is to seek to comprehend the word a little more, to ask questions, to reflect, to think, but then also to go beyond just thinking, to learn to love the word of Christ and of his church, and to begin to live it more and more. Applying the teaching of Jesus and his church in our life when we don't quite get it might seem odd, but in fact, we learn by doing. By doing what is taught, we begin to get it. You see, we don't demand that Christ first explain everything or that the church do the same. We can't say to Jesus, until you explain this, I don't quite get it. You explain it to me first, and only then am I going to follow you. That doesn't make any sense. Because the Christian life, the spiritual life, is a life of faith. Faith is an act of trust. You trust in someone even if you don't fully get or understand what they're saying and why they're saying it. Even if you don't fully get why they're asking you to do something. Life is about trust. The life of faith is one of trust. And with faith, we can imitate Christ. We can start doing the word and live it to the full, even when it seems a bit strange.